Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Abraham Lincoln Radio Studio at the George Washington Broadcast Center,
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Instructions and rules to teach your son. I saw it billed as what fathers should teach their sons. I remain committed to the idea that the best scenario, not always possible, but the best scenario is for a boy to have a strong male role model.
Abso-freaking-lutely.
And anybody who disagrees with that is fool
wrong.
Or just wrong, unable to come to terms with their own situation. And you plucky single moms whose rotten husband flaked or whatever, you're doing your best and God bless you with you 100%. But it is less than ideal. And I think in an honest moment or after you've had 10 drinks, you would agree with me. I mean, if we're going to get after it, let's get after it. First, a quick word from our friends at Simply Safe Home Security, offering 50% off their award-winning security system. 50% off. Did you know? You probably did know this because you're up on the news. Package thefts, robberies, burglaries skyrocket during the holidays because scumbags want to steal your presents.
Saw a story in the news last night of an Amazon driver who would drop off the packages and then steal the packages he dropped off. You don't know that unless you had a camera set up or something like that. And that's part of what you can get, the 24/7 professional monitoring that you get with Simply Safe. All kinds of sensors and cameras and HD security cameras, by the way, inside and out. Just smarter ways to detect motion that'll only alert you when a threat is real. Good stuff.
And with their 24/7 professional monitoring services that cost under a buck a day, that's less than half of the price of like ADT's traditional system, they can tell the cops it's a real break-in. We're certain of it. And you get higher priority response. So go to simplysafe.com/Armstrong. Get 50% off any new system. Biggest discount of the year. 50% off. simplysafe.com/Armstrong. There's no safe like Simply Safe. Number one, never shake a man, and these are not in any particular order, never shake a man's hand sitting down. Stand up.
Well, that's a pretty good one.
Yeah, that's interesting, but it's good.
I had that situation just the other day, and I thought, I should stand up, but I'm kind of tired.
You know, I will tell you also, by preface, as I should have earlier, these range from the incredibly important and touching to the amusing.
God, I did that just yesterday afternoon, and afterwards I thought I should have stood up, but it was honestly because I was tired.
This one's just funny.
I did it in front of my own son. Okay, we'll get on yours.
You did the opposite of what yours
did. I did. I modeled sitting down to shake a man's hand.
The man at the barbecue grill is the closest thing to a king. Do not challenge him. Do not correct him. Respect him.
Because he'll spit
in
your hot dog or
grill. It's his grill. In a negotiation.
So don't stand. Yes? Okay. Don't stand next to the guy flipping the burgers and say, I think they're ready to come off, aren't they?
You're going to get scalded by a hot spatula. You do that in my house. That's how I deal with that.
Oh, my God, you're a psycho. Honey, we're leaving.
Not your face is medium rare.
Barbaric.
Oh, my God. We're not going to get through many of these.
Honey, he scalded me. We're leaving. That'd be a good reason.
You're an effing lunatic.
What? You backseat grilled.
You told me how to grill.
So I scalded you.
It's everybody would do it.
This is pretty good advice. Having studied the art of negotiation through my adult life, in a negotiation, never make the first offer. The point being that pegs the negotiation. You know where they are. And if it's like way low ball, you know, you can try a high ball and then walk away, or they might say a number that's beyond acceptable to you. And you can then see how far you can push.
Boy, I had a good situation with that the other day, and we aren't going to get through these, but we're in no hurry. With my kids in the, they were with me, so I bought this motorcycle. I bought a used motorcycle, and the guy had it listed at $6,800. And I was on the phone with him as we drove over there, and I said, how about 65? And he said, all right. And I got off the phone with my kids, and I said, did you see how long that took? I said, Tim, the salesman, who Joe and I both know, this was his quote that always stuck in my head. You never lose or make money faster than when you're negotiating. It's impossible. It's impossible. I made $300 in a half a second there.
Yeah.
And I told my kids that that money changes hands so fast when you're negotiating. It's shocking.
This is funny. The next one, request the late checkout. I always tell Judy, no, we'll just get a late checkout. She's like, oh, well, I don't know if we should ask. And I'm like, no, I'll call. It's not a problem, they'll say, go ahead. And 95% of the time, they say, no problem.
You're right, and I'm with Judy. You're absolutely right. I've never had anybody say no, ever. But I have a guilt feeling about it. It's weird. I don't know where it even comes from. The rules say 11. Really should get out of here. There's no good reason for it. And the room was really expensive, so let me stay another.
It's a negotiation. I'm always courteous and say, hey, I'm going to be really rushed to get back from a meeting. Would it be a problem if I checked out at 1? And again, sometimes they'll say, oh, gosh, later than noon would really press us. And I'll say, okay, I'll make it noon.
I say, I can leave here at 1 with a clean carpet, or I can leave here now with a real mess to clean up. It's your choice. That's what I say.
We're taking a look at some of these rules fathers need to teach their sons. They range from the lighthearted and amusing to just absolutely great.
I'm going to tell my son today, remember yesterday when that guy came by and shook my hand and I stayed seated? That was not right. That's not what you should do. I got to tell him that because that was a bad move on my part.
Mm. When entrusted with a secret, keep it.
That's a good one.
It's absolutely true. I had a tough one the other day.
It was just
a friend told me something in confidence about his health.
Mm.
And I am very good at keeping secrets. It's locked away for good. And a mutual friend came up and he had like 3/4 of the story and said, hey, do you know what's going on?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And he cares about this mutual friend.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, oh, hell, what do I do now? Play dumb? Anyway. Hold your heroes to a higher standard. In other words, pick your heroes carefully.
Mm, okay.
Make sure they're worthy of your admiration. I like this one. Return a borrowed car with a full tank of gas.
Wow.
Well, that's funny. Somebody told me that a long time ago. I do that.
This was written back when gas was like $3 a gallon. No, it's completely different times we live in.
Is it? Or is it more important, you weasel? I'm sorry, weasel was out of line. I apologize.
No, so if you borrow somebody's vehicle,
you're at least a mink of a man.
If you're borrowing a vehicle from someone to use it. Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Return it with a full tank of gas. It's just a nice gesture. I like this. Play with passion or don't play at all.
Are we talking about the bedroom or?
Well, you could be, I suppose. It's a sports, I think, that sort of thing. Mm. When shaking hands, grip firmly. Look them in the eye. That's right at the top of the list.
Sure.
And, you know,
a classic.
I meet somebody who doesn't, I immediately judge them harshly.
God, who did I meet the other day? And I probably
not
wouldn't...
permanently, but initially.
Right. I met somebody the other day. I can't remember. I wouldn't say even if I did remember, but it was somebody like important and powerful and had the super limp barely touched my hand handshake. I thought, wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Hmm. I like this. It's more a saying than advice, but don't let a wishbone grow where a backbone should be. Another one just worthy of a second. If you need music on the beach, you're missing the point.
Ah, good one.
That's not advice exactly. You marry the girl, you marry her family. Be like a duck. Remain calm on the surface. Paddle like crazy underneath. It's good.
Quack at appropriate times. Eat lots of lettuce.
Experience the serenity of traveling alone.
Oh, I love
You've
that.
Done that a fair amount.
A lot, yeah. Well, back before I had kids. Almost never now.
Yeah. Never be afraid to ask out the best-looking girl in the room.
That's a good one. That's one I wish I had lived my whole life. Oh, if I have any regrets on my deathbed, it'd be that one.
Yeah. Be bold. You know what? You will lose. You will be embarrassed. Just do it again.
Mildly.
And you'll be rewarded.
Mildly embarrassed.
Yeah, yeah. And finally, a couple more. Never turn down a breath mint. And try writing your own eulogy. And never stop revising it.
That's a good one.
Armstrong and Getty. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
I forewarned you.
Let's go, Brandon.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
This is a terrific article. Jeff Fowler in the Washington Post. Tour Amazon's dream home, where every appliance is also a spy. Here's everything Amazon learns about your family, your home, and you.
I have no desire for this. So when I hear these kind of stories, like, unless somebody forces this upon me, I don't think I'm going to do it. But go on.
Oh, yeah. I tell you what, I have over the years had several experiences where, like, we got new thermostats. And you can sign on to a smart home where you can do this, that, and the other. And it's great. But they want all sorts of information
right.
about you.
Right.
And they're collecting all sorts. That's why those things exist. Anyway, he points out that Amazon collects more data than almost any other company in tech. Amazon says all that personal information helps power an ambient intelligence to make your home smart. It's the Jetsons' dream, but it's also a surveillance nightmare. Many of Amazon's products contribute to its detailed profile of you, helping it know you better than you know yourself. Amazon says they don't sell our data, Jack, but there aren't many U.S. laws to restrict how it uses information.
Right, whatever. What percentage of people care, would you guess, at all?
Oh, wow. What a good question.
Because I feel like...
20?
I feel like the world is chipping away at us, and they've gotten me closer to not caring than I used to be. I used to fight it hard.
Yeah.
And I've little by little given in to where it's like, okay, I didn't have Gmail. I didn't have anything Google for a long time. But then I had to have Gmail because my son has Google Classroom and that's the only way I can check up on his blah, blah, blah. So little by little, I had to just give in to the, what are you going to do? And right. So I'm wondering at this point, what percentage of people just don't care at all? And those of us who are fighting it, we're a dying breed.
Well, and there's a chunk of people who do care, but they figure, well, they have it all anyway. So.
Yeah.
Data that seems useless today, Jeff writes, could look different tomorrow after it gets reanalyzed, stolen, or handed to a government.
Mm.
And then he discloses Amazon founder Jeff Bezos owns the Washington Post. That's the guy. Bezos. That's the same guy. Right. Yeah, so, okay. So he goes through Amazon's products and how they collect data and what it might be used for. The Echo speaker. Among the best-selling speakers in history, Echoes responded to the wake word Alexa to summon the voice assistant to play music, answer questions, shop, and control other devices.
I have two in my home. Each of my kids has one, either the little one or the big one.
I'm tempted to do what I haven't done for a very long time to our listeners. Alexa, order 1,000 tons of dog food. Actually, it probably won't respond to my voice. I think it's more sophisticated these days. But anyway, what it knows, it collects audio recordings through always-on microphones, keeps voice IDs to differentiate users.
I forget about that all the time when I'm in my kid's room. I was having a very private conversation with my son yesterday.
With your son and Jeff Bezos.
Completely forgetting that there is a microphone right there. Wow.
And we're way more sensitive than most human beings to being around live microphones and what that means.
Yeah.
So, let's see. It collects.
As I've said for years, you're never going to get through this because I won't show up. Shut up. But as I've said for years, if you believe that they can listen but they're not. You are a sap.
Yes, I would agree. So the microphone is always on, keeps voice IDs to differentiate users, detects coughs, barks, snores, and other sounds.
I make all of those noises when I sleep. I bark. I snore.
It logs music. And actually, I just coughed now, but I cut the mic. They'll hear you coughing and try to sell you stuff.
Oh my God. They hear you coughing, and that's why you're ending up with ads for, NyQuil. Wow.
Logs music and news consumption. They know who's listening to what.
They hear the disappointed sounds, sobbing of your wife, and realize you need ED medicine.
Oh boy. Logs smart home device activity and temperature, detects presence of people through ultrasound.
Well, but sure, of course, they pick up there's a kid here. We've identified a child. Here's all the child products that will push your direction.
Sure.
Wow. Yeah.
Boy, this person's listening to the Armstrong and Getty show. I'll sell them, I don't know, sophisticated music and novels because they're obviously very advanced.
Dried food because they're going to probably preppers.
Right. Why that matters. It counts snores? Yes, if you turn that on. Alexa can hear more than you might realize. Amazon touts privacy controls like a physical microphone mute button, but when I downloaded my Alexa voice history, I found the Echo had recorded many sensitive conversations after its microphone activated unintentionally.
Right, so that gets to my whole, if you think that they have the technology to listen to you all the time, but they just out of the goodness of their heart, and they could profit from it, but they're just not because they're good people. You're crazy.
Amazon says its systems now double-check whether you intended to say the wake word and label accidental recordings. Only after years of criticism did Amazon add a setting to not keep any audio recordings.
Wow.
How about your Ring doorbell? It's another Amazon product. It's been great for the internet. Videos of various things happening. Mm-hmm. Good for the coppers, too. They've apprehended some bad people.
But good for embarrassing the hell out of people.
There's that.
Like somebody I saw somebody adjusting their junk the other day.
Mm.
Somebody at their finger in their nose right before they came into a house and stuff like that. Those go viral on your TikTok or whatnot.
Oh, boy.
Realize you're always on camera in the modern world. Unless you, go in a closet and shut a door. Somebody's watching you.
Ring doorbells have tiny cameras inside that let you live stream, record, and interact with whomever is at your doorstep, even if you're not at home. What it knows is live and recorded video, audio, and photos of the outside of your house, when people come and go, and when you receive packages, status of linked devices like lights. And why that matters is you're not the only one who wants to peer through your doorbell. Police have made tens of thousands of requests for Ring video clips, and Amazon has handed footage to police without owner's permission at least 11 times this year. Amazon says it reserves the right to respond to emergency police requests when they relate to matters of life and death. Ring brought surveillance cameras to millions of more homes, igniting a privacy debate about recording neighbors without permission.
Well, we did the story last week, I guess, and San Francisco is the first city in America where the police department is working with businesses, and it's an agreement between the businesses that they'll turn over all their, because they got all the security cameras, they'll turn all that stuff over to the police if they ask.
Yeah, and I understand in crime-ridden San Francisco and similar cities where people might think, yeah, for God's sake, I'll do whatever I can to help,
because
this is no way to live. But, that sort of thing evolves. A surveillance state always becomes a nasty surveillance state.
It's happening. It's not going to happen. It's happening. And it's just a matter of time, isn't it? Like, I can fight it, but it's just a matter of time. I think that's probably the attitude of a lot of people. Look, that's where we're going. They're going to know everywhere you drive, everything you buy. It's just everything. And it's going to happen. It is happening. So get used to it.
Armstrong and Getty.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if... No. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
Point of personal privilege.
Don't get brazen with me.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
I have a habit of declaring everything the biggest story in America or the world. But this is one of them that should be in contention, and that is the number of people we have in America who don't work and ain't looking for work. It is an underreported story. As the author of the book Men Without Work would tell you, his name is Nicholas Eberstadt. He's one of those think tank geniuses. This book actually came out in 2016, but he's got a post-pandemic update of it out because it has been exacerbated by so many of the policies. I'm going to read to you the whole blurb that explains the book because it's damned interesting. It also explains how, because we've been asking this for a long time now, how's there a help wanted sign in every single business you go to when you got millions of people not working and all that sort of stuff? Well, it's people just don't want to work. We have more people not wanting to work than we've ever had. So let me read this. Nicholas Eberstadt's landmark 2016 study, Men Without Work, cast a spotlight on the collapse of work for men in modern America. Rosy reports of low unemployment rates and full or near full employment conditions, he contends, were overlooking a quiet continuing crisis. Depression-era work rates for American men of prime working age. We're talking men between 25 and 54. There are actually more, a higher percentage of men not working, not engaged in the workforce, than at the end of the Depression in 1940 when we had a 15% unemployment.
But many of them by choice?
They weren't choosing it. Now it's by choice.
Oh, right. Oh, clearly, yeah. Right. Yeah.
The grim truth is over 7 million prime-age men are neither working nor looking for work. Conventional unemployment measures ignore these labor force dropouts, but their ranks have been rising relentlessly since 1965. Eberstadt's unflinching analysis is, in the words of the New York Times, an unsettling portrait not just of male unemployment, but also of the lives of deeply alienated men from civil society. And that's where you get all these deaths of despair and all the various things going on, and you know, well, all kinds of different things we can get into. The famed American work ethic was once near universal. Men of sound mind and body took pride in contributing to their communities and their families. No longer, warned Eberstadt. And now, 6 years and one catastrophic pandemic later, the problem has only worsened. It's been seemingly spreading now to prime age women in the workforce and workers over 55. Women are catching up with men in terms of the whole, yeah, and I still don't think I'm going to work.
Way to go, gals.
In a brand new introduction, Eberstadt explains how the government's response to COVID-19 inadvertently exacerbated the flight from work in America. From indiscriminate pandemic shutdowns to almost unconditional unemployment benefits, Americans were essentially paid not to work. We've all seen how that played out.
Well, and, you know, while there is some small satisfaction in the things we've been saying for years coming true, it's not good for the country. So, if you remove the incentives for productivity, and grow the incentives for inactivity, what do you think you're going to get more of and less of?
So we've got 12 million open jobs and 7 million men and several million women that just have no interest in working. The truth is fewer prime-age American men are looking readily for available work than at any previous juncture in our nation's history. So let me get to some of the stats from this book as I went through it, which are quite amazing.
Just for the record, I have no interest in working. But I do it.
If you're driving to work right now, you might feel that same way. And you're joking, I'm sure. I know.
Yeah,
because
I know, of course.
For most of us, we can't imagine not having that, not just as your identity, but all kinds of your being, your connection to society, to the providing for your family.
Challenges overcome. That sort of thing. Sure.
For every person, for every man looking for work, there are four that are unemployed and not looking for work.
Wow.
Yeah, that's something. And that's in the 25 to 54. Work participation is lower than in 1940 when unemployment was at 15%, as I mentioned. Of the 7 million labor force dropouts, if you break it down by race, some groups are higher represented and lower represented in the numbers. Actually, if you go with whites and people of color, they're about equal. But among people of color, it's not the same. There are more, as a percentage, black people just not working, but much lower than the white numbers for Asian and Latino, which is interesting.
Yeah.
So if you throw all the people of color the same, white and people of color about the same. Less education is overrepresentative. 40%, though, have some college. 20% have a college degree of people that aren't working and aren't looking for work.
Wow. Well, that really speaks to the fact that it's a much more widespread contagion than you might assume. I mean, it has to do with what's happening with the soul of the country and our culture.
Right. That's his ultimate point, really, is that it's something about our culture and the way we look at the world and the universe and life and all kinds of different things, which is hard to turn around. Never married, way overrepresented as a number.
Yeah, not surprising.
Never married men, much more likely to be the, I don't have a job and I'm not looking for a job. Born in the U.S.? Well, foreign born, way underrepresented. People who come here from other countries, they're working. Born in the United States, never married, much more likely to be doing whatever you're doing without a job.
You know, well, I'm sure you have more. I think I'm arriving at something close to a conclusion, but go ahead.
Something close to a conclusion.
Yeah.
Disability plays a large role. Has grown tremendously over the last 50 years, overlapping many different kinds of disability programs. I know so many people that don't work because they're on disability. And you never ask, what's your disability? I mean, you're out here riding dirt bikes or on the golf course or whatever it is. What's your disability exactly?
Surely you can do something.
Yeah, but they haven't been able, and this guy's a think tank guy that leans right, but nobody's been able to show any causality between the generous disability and the fact that we have so many people not working. It does seem clear that there is a connection, though, because you can look at Texas versus California, for instance. And they look at the Latino immigrants, which have about the highest labor participation rate of anybody in America. Latino men who came here from another country, very high participation rate, much higher than, white men in America. But they got a much higher participation rate in Texas than they do in California. And Texas has much stingier disability payouts and programs than California does. That's the best they can do in terms of coming up with a cause and effect.
Well, and demanding, studies to show that that has a cause and effect relationship is silly to me. I mean, every experiment done from amoebas up to mice to human beings shows, incentives and disincentives matter.
He does get into some of the percentages of people who don't have jobs and aren't looking for work. And I know for a lot of you, I mean, I have trouble even saying that sentence out. It seems so crazy to me. It's almost like you said, of the percentage of people who have three heads and can breathe fire. I mean, I just don't even I don't relate to that on any level. Not having a job and not looking for a job. What? But of those people, pretty good chunk of them are using some sort of drug to desensitize themselves, whether it's opioids or smoking pot or whatever. Lots of screen time, the hours of screen time, whether video games or, you know, watching Netflix, very, very high. I mean, that crowd spends as many hours looking at screens as other people who work spend at work.
Yeah, yeah, wow. So that leads to my something like a conclusion. We have, in a fairly short period of time, a handful of decades, gone from a highly interconnected society where you are in person relating with humans, looking them in the eye, from loved ones to family to friends to neighbors to coworkers and employers, church members, fellow members of your clubs and civic organizations, whatever, Little League. I could go on and on. But that personal contact, the looking them in the eye, matters. We've gone from that to a highly disconnected society with the screen time and the video games and the Netflix and the rest of it. And what it has to do with more than anything is, and you could use a lot of different words, something like shame. Shame versus pride. I will tell you, I got married fairly young. It's one of the best things I ever did because there were times I was willing to let myself down, but I was never willing to let Judy down. And certainly when we had kids, I sure as hell wasn't going to let my children down.
Yeah, it's not even a thought.
Not to mention my parents, my sister and my brother. I can't imagine what the disapproval of my brother, the naval officer, would be if I was a, well, I'll just be charitable and say non-productive adult male. And go on and on. Just all those, from the very close to the not so close interpersonal relationships. You could not bear the shame of being a deadbeat. That's what we've lost.
Shame.
The shame bell.
Shame.
And the nice shame lady.
So deadbeat is a strong word. I have no problem with that word. I think not working, not looking for a job, you are a sad, sad individual. And I pity
you. And you're wasting your life.
You're wasting your life. Oh. And I think you're pathetic and I pity you. And you might be listening right now. But what was I going to say? Oh, so do those people hang out with each other to avoid shame? Or are they so into the whole online world of just texting and, you know, online porn or whatever, like you don't hang around anybody?
Or they hang around through the video games and claim that's the same as having an in-person friend. I will tell you this from personal experience. Every drunk or every guy who likes to drink maybe to excess really wants the people around him to do the same. Why? Is it just because it's a better time? Well, partly. And is it partly because if everybody's doing it, the fact that I'm doing it doesn't stand out and I don't have to feel bad about it? Come on.
Yeah.
You know, the lack of moral instruction, which is now morphed into bizarre, radical, critical theory instruction in schools, we're reaping what we've sown.
So this guy is a religious guy who wrote that book and, you know, hopes for some sort of another great awakening. That's when the country, a couple of times in our history, has turned real religious all of a sudden.
The Bible!
For a variety of reasons. I don't think that's likely to happen. And I don't know if that's the only answer or an answer. But
I think it's less likely to happen because we have such good drugs to deaden our souls.
Yeah, the whole, you can get enough to feel like you're living life out of the screen on your phone is a new wrinkle, certainly.
Yeah. Yeah, combine that with the actual drugs.
But he gets into, and this is definitely true, we got to take a break, but the politics of this are going to be huge. What happens to your politics when you have as I mentioned, it's growing now for women and for people over the age of 54. So if it's a growing group of people who don't ever work and don't ever plan to work, how are they going to vote in terms of wanting politicians who give them more stuff so they can continue to not work.
I think we're already seeing it.
Yeah, we are. It's troubling.
Armstrong and Getty.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if... No. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
True international average of pressure.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Obama is a long leg Mac Daddy.
And you know how he got there. Leg lengthening. So people do this as adults doing this. I remember hearing a story once about doing it with your kids who were like really short.
Yeah. Yeah, developmental issues, that sort of thing. Physical developmental issues, yeah. So this is for adults. You pay $75,000 for the privilege of having your femurs broken and these adjustable nails inserted. Then they send an electronic signal to your remote control legs to stretch by, was it a millimeter a day? Which doesn't sound like a lot. Was it a centimeter or a millimeter? Because one's 10 times the size of the other one. 1 millimeter every day for about 90 days. There's the pain, which is relentless, ambient. The extension of the nails in his legs stretched the nerves and tissue around the bones, especially the thick, meaty muscles like the hamstrings, to an almost excruciating degree. He couldn't walk for months. They fill you with enough painkillers that it's bearable, John explains. But his biggest fear was becoming addicted to the drug, so he weaned himself off the regimen earlier than he should have.
Couldn't walk for months?
Correct. Why would someone like John, a handsome, confident, funny father to three? Wow. I'm
glad to hear he's funny.
You got kids and you can't walk for 3 months. Why would he shell out for a procedure that costs more than a Tesla and results in months of agony for a couple of extra inches? It's not like he was particularly short. He was just shy of the average height of an American man, which is 5'9".
You're just below the average height. Well, yeah, come on, 5'8.5" to 5'9", I'd call that average height, right?
Well, and it's, they mentioned he's a father of three, not whether he's still with his wife or whatever. But the opportunity to be above average was too good to pass up. I noticed that taller people just seem to have it easier, he says, laughing. He shrugs. The world seems to bend for them. The tall and the power over all of us.
I'll be interested to see after he's taller if he feels like it's still as much about that as he thought. I don't know.
Yeah, as so many people who make drastic physical changes thinking that's why I'm unhappy, right, then figure out, no, I'm unhappy because I'm unhappy, and then regret terribly the surgical and hormonal interventions they have used. But we won't go off on that tangent. So a couple of statistics. Male height, particularly the absence of it, is one of the last social stigmas, as if the new rules of body positivity fail to apply vertically. Of course, it's a GQ, so they're just way off the deep end of dopey, soft-headed, you know, body positivity.
Wow.
Short guys aren't so much discriminated against as they are precluded from stuff, like dating taller people, making a basketball team, obviously. According to a 2009 study of Australian men, short guys make less money than their taller peers, about $500 a year per inch.
That's interesting.
$500 a year per inch. So if I was 5'11 for the longest time, now because I'm old and bitter, old probably has more to do with it than bitter, but now I'm 5'10, maybe 5'10 and a half. But so if I was 6 feet,
I'm not sure you get shorter because of a bad attitude.
So I'd have had to, if I was 6'1, I've made another $1,000 a year throughout my life. After taxes, why, that would be inconsequential.
I'm shorter, too. When I got measured for my chemotherapy, they did a laser measurement, and I had shrunk.
Yeah.
Like a full half inch. It was disappointing.
Well, you get squashed down over the years.
Well, you get worn down to a nub by life. That's what happens.
True enough. Let's see. You're less likely as a shorter guy to climb the corporate ladder. According to one survey, the average height of a male Fortune 500 CEO, 6 feet.
That's interesting. And every president we've had is on the taller end in modern times.
Yeah. Isn't it like every time but one, the taller guy is one?
Yep.
Or,
yeah.
In the modern era,
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. So anyway, I mean, we could get more into it, but
I've always been fascinated by the how much the personality plays a role in that. I've known short dudes who just had, I don't know what the right word would be. I was going to say bigger personalities, but that's not just it. I think it's confidence. I think it's just a confident personality. They don't come off as their height. And I've known really big guys that, like, you forget how big they are because they're so kind of wilting personalities.
Yeah, well, that, you're getting into some tendencies that are almost cliches with the small man's disease where he has to try so hard, or the gentle giant or what have
you. Yeah, I've never thought
that
was fair.
Because he doesn't want to terrify everybody.
I've never thought that was fair. So if you're confident and you're short, you get labeled as small man's disease, where you could have the same level of, you know, aggressiveness at 6 foot, and they would just call you a dick or something.
yeah, exactly. So they mentioned a couple of things in the context of this procedure, including fixing bone deformities in children, which is a great thing, although it is a painful deal. And, you know, I have to think of my hip replacements. That it's a very, very similar procedure. I mean, you saw off the end of the femur, the ball that goes in the socket of the hip joint. You replace it with a prosthetic and screw it in there and everything, or nail it, or however they do it. I should know. But if you would like to get this done, cost you about $75,000, and wow, They'll do it for you in Las Vegas.
That's a lot of money. So,
I'm thinking if you wanted to get like 6 inches taller, number one, you'd look like a man on stilts. And number two, the pain would be too much. Oh. By the end of it, you would be a hope. Well, you'd probably be dead from your opioid addiction.
Armstrong and Getty.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money in markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.